Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
One of the things that I picked up in this book very early on, because I look for things like this as a telltale sign about the individual that otherwise would may not be noticed in other narratives. And it was really right in the prologue where you talked about being, you know, a little bit of a reformer. You wanted to change the way, and I identify with that as the former chairman of a party that could use some reforms. I identify with that narrative and that desire to look at what is and see, to you again, to what you're saying, the hopeful side, the possibilities of what can be in terms of how, even in the diplomatic space, we can improve upon these relationships in a way that inure to the benefit, certainly of the US, but also to our allies and our opponents. How did you find reforming the process of diplomacy in your work, particularly during your two tours at Ukraine and having to deal with Russia, for example? Stimulating, frustrating, successful, what?
I'm not sure we've actually entered the period of reform.
I would agree with that.
So, I mean, there have been changes on the margins. But I think that you're right. The State Department needs to reform because we are essentially still a service, you know, from the 1950s, which was, you know, a white boys club. Neither of us fit in. You know, the makeup of the families was different. And I think, you know, a lot of personnel things need to be changed. But I think we also need to take a look at what are the challenges that we face in 2022, in 2032, and what are the tools that we have to address those challenges? And I think we need to do a real deep dive into some of these issues. Some of it, you know, is structural and personnel and all of that stuff, and that's hard enough. But I think some of the other things are, you know, what of the old tools? I mean, I think of, you know, the Cold War radios like VOA and America and Radio Free Europe. I think those are still really good tools because in some ways, ironically, they can sometimes be more reliable than what comes over on social media, because those networks can be taken down pretty quick. But we also need to do the new stuff, and we are trying to, but it also comes with, you know, the State Department, its government, lots of layers of approval, and it's hard to be nimble. And in this environment where you've got, you know, there aren't deadlines anymore. There's just a constant news environment. And so we need to be out there as nimble as everybody else. So that's just one area that we need to take a hard look at. And we need to resource. And I think what we need to do is not only because we want to tell the American story to audiences overseas, because that is so vitally important, and we need to do a better job of it, but we also need to tell the story of what we do to the American people. Because I don't think people understand what diplomats do, because it's kind of a quiet profession. All things going well, you never hear about us. And that's sort of how it should be. But it's hard to build up support, you know, in the American public, in Congress. And why would they vote for additional resources if there's, you know, not the same kind of support as if, you know, part of the helicopter is being built in every state of the union.
So
I think we need to do a better job of telling our story and getting support among the American people, because what we do is we are the front line, so that hopefully we never have to use our military. If we're successful, we would never have to use the military. I think we need to explain how we help companies get contracts overseas, creating jobs in America, profits in America. How we bolster American security, working with our colleagues in DOD and other security agencies, and how we keep you know, our political alliances and partnerships going so that the world is more free, which makes us more free.
So in a little bit of time we have left before I let you scoot on to other more important things, let's talk about where we are right now with Ukraine. You have a unique experience with Ukraine. How do you make sense of current events in Ukraine? What do you see the stakes are for Ukraine and for Europe and for the US at this point? And did you have some sense, some prediction that, yeah, this is where we're going to end up if A, B, and C don't come together?
Yeah, I knew, and actually write about this in the book, I knew that Putin was going to test us again because we did not sufficiently deter him in 2008 in Georgia, 2014 in Ukraine. I didn't anticipate that it would be 2022 in Ukraine. I thought that the war that he kept on going for the last 8 years in Ukraine's east in the Donbas was going to be enough for him. But I was wrong. But I'm not surprised that he is testing the West. And now in retrospect, I'm not surprised that he is going after Ukraine, because as you know, his original goal was all of Ukraine.
Right.
And my own view is it probably still is his goal. You know, that he will try to get whatever he can now and regroup and go for it again if we let him, which is why Ukraine must prevail in this battle. So the stakes for Ukraine, you know, it's their country, right. It's their families, it's their freedom. Really, really clear. And they are fighting so hard, and they've got Zelensky, you know, the Winston Churchill.
Oh my God. And the man is amazing. He's just absolutely amazing.
He is amazing. And, but he reflects the Ukrainian people. I mean, you can see it in their military, in the territorial defense forces, in, you know, every grandma who's putting together a Molotov cocktail. It's amazing. And so they know what they're fighting for. And Putin has told us, he told us on the eve of the war, that he's going to keep on going because there are other countries he has an eye on.
Right.
You know, it is easier to stop. It is better to stop Putin in Ukraine than to let him keep on going. And I would say that his stakes are even higher than that, because the international rules-based order does not work for Putin. He cannot compete in the world that was constructed after World War II,
alliances
and everything else. He can't. And so what he's trying to do is create a world where might makes right. And so, you know, if he gets away with it, just as he did before, he'll keep on going. And other dictators are watching, because that works for them too. It doesn't work for us. We need a world that, you know, is secure and therefore prosperous and free. I'm not saying that the rules-based order that we've had since World War II doesn't require some adjustments. Everything does after 70 plus years.
Right.
And I think, you know, this is the moment. You know, we're going to look at this as a pre-February 24th world and a post-February 24th world. How do we meet this challenge, not just in Ukraine, but overall, so that people like Putin don't write the rules for how we in America live our lives.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
What was it like to cover President Donald Trump? Hi, I'm Deborah J. Saunders, former White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I was not one of the stars you'd see in the front 2 rows of the briefing room. I was in the back of the room or standing in the aisles before I got a seat. It was not fake news. It was my life. I get up in the morning and see what the most powerful man in the world wrote on Twitter overnight or blurted out during a call-in to a morning news show, then try to make sense of it all. I should give a warning, there is adult language, although not necessarily from the mouths of adults. Covering the Trump White House feels much better in the rearview mirror. This is Trailing Trump, notes from the back of the briefing room.
premiering June 14th on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.